This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's week 41 now of 2020, and welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast about the fun we have in our theater. A lot of fun going on in the theaters this week. We have a great theater to feature where clearly Andrew has a lot of fun in his theater. But hey, my name's DJ, and you can reach us on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email us at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to all of us directly by leaving comments on our website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. And there's spots under all the episodes, under all the featured theaters. And thanks to everybody that left a comment already under Andrew's Theater that's already been posted on the website, so you can check that out. But really, please, take a second and go to the website, leave a comment under these theaters. Everybody that submitted a theater is really, you know, they put a lot of work into these theaters. A lot of thought goes into them, and it's great when they get feedback and comments. Each of these theaters is going to be, in one way or another, is actually going to be incorporated into my own theater. And I'll, as the podcast goes on, over the next months, I'll be showing people where I got ideas and inspirations. But yeah, leave a comment, tell people what you like and how, you know, just say, hey, great theater. But they love that. They put a lot of work into these things. And really, when we put these theaters out there, they're putting themselves out there too. So that'd be great if you could just leave a comment. I know they'd really appreciate it. And just again, just to reiterate why I say us, when I say, hey, my name's DJ and you can reach us on Twitter, it's because everything that happens on Brightside Home Theater, Twitter, email, on the website, I want it to be all of us. I want to share that with everybody. That's part of the community. We're all talking home theater. It's been so much fun so far, but it's not that I have dual personalities. I just like to share it with everybody. So that's why I always say us. But let's move on. Let's move this podcast along. Let's get to what I did in my theater this week. Lot of fun. SVS, I put it out on Twitter. Thank you very much. They sent me my two amps for my dual PB2000s. I installed them very easily, put my room back together, recalibrated my room using my Odyssey Multi 32 EQ, whatever it's called. Everything's up and running. Great. So fast. Let me give you the timeline. So lost power on Wednesday, called SVS after running all my own tests. They said, no problem. We'll get this taken care of. Do this test with a battery. So I took the amps out the next day after work was the first opportunity. So that's Thursday night at about 6 o'clock. I emailed them, told them the drivers are fine. It is the amps. Those two amps showed up at my house Sunday morning. I had those reinstalled Sunday afternoon, recalibrated the room Sunday night, and I was off and running very quickly. I mean, I couldn't believe that they had showed up that fast. So thank you to SVS. That was awesome. So aside from having outstanding amps that'll shake your house, they have outstanding customer service as well. So if you're in the market for an amp or amp, yeah, if you're in the market for speakers or you're in a market for subwoofers, which I highly recommend, check them out. I also, in my theater this week, and I did do this in my theater, sat down on my laptop and I figured out how to run a poll on my website. So that's why I posted the poll up there, got that done by Tuesday, like I said, and there are four movies up there. I announced this on Twitter and we've got quite a few votes already. But first, for anybody that's not on Twitter that doesn't know anything about this yet, if you go to the website and you'll see at the top of the page, or if you're on a mobile, click on the plus sign on the mobile and you'll see the different choices and you'll see poll of the week. Click on poll of the week. If you're on a desktop, it'll be in the left hand corner with all the other, you know, about episodes, featured theaters, merch, contact, poll of the week. Click on poll of the week. And you'll see the poll. And the question is, which movie would you like to see reviewed for Halloween? So next week, I'm going to be doing a review of one of these four movies. We have Autopsy of Jane Doe, Sleepy Hollow Face Off, where I take the older version and put it up against the 20th anniversary version that just came out last year, Trick or Treat, and I added in 300 in 4K because, well, the listeners have spoken. My son's like, why is that on there? That's not a Halloween movie. But you guys really were excited about that, so I thought I'd add that in. And as of right now, that's has 300 4K has a slight lead right now. So we'll see how it goes. But the polling closes, I believe, 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon. I need to know so I can start my review. But yeah, check that out. A lot of fun. I'm going to be adding more polls, probably a poll of the week. If I can come up with questions, any suggestions for questions, let me know. And we'll get some polls going and see what we can do there. Have some fun. So head over to the website and check that out. Maybe after you're done checking out Andrew's Theater. And before we move on to new Twitter followers, I'd like to say I'm sorry to Mark V. Mark was the one that told me about Monster Squad and Trick or Treat Blu-rays, saying they're really good. He had an explanation on each of them. They gave him that Halloween feeling, brought him back to when he was a kid type of thing. And for some reason, I don't know how it slipped through, but I didn't mention it. That's why Trick or Treat is in there. That's the one that I was, out of the two of those, I had to make a call to vote on, and I'm kind of interested in that one myself. Not trying to sway votes or anything. I'm just, out of those two, that's the one I decided. But I've added Monster Squad in for next year. I've actually been taking movies. We'll get to more of this in a minute. Actually, we'll get to that when we get to that. So let me just move on. So sorry to Mark, but Mark is also the one that suggested Halloween 2018, which I had already suggested to myself. I'd already slated that one for the Friday before Halloween. So what's that? The 30th. So that podcast was always going to be, I had planned that months and months ago because I figured it was very appropriate being Halloween and it's the new 4K version. So I thought that would be good. But he had made that recommendation back in August, so I told him then that that was already a definite. So, all right, let's move on. So this week we have new Twitter followers, Paul, Manbrew, Antonio, HD Movie Source, and Toby. Welcome to the home theater community. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater podcast. Thanks for joining. Hope you're having fun. And this week's movie recommendations, from John M., we have The Island. Sound rivals almost all modern soundtracks, huge action sequences, and a compelling story. From Todd Anderson, we have Autopsy of Jane Doe. Simply delicious on standard BD. Deserves some 4K action, but wow, what a flick. So that's why I put that one in. I was so blown away by that. I was like, simply delicious on standard Blu-ray and deserves some 4K action. I'm like, yeah, I got to check this out. So again, not trying to sway the votes, but you know, we'll see. And Bram Stoker's Dracula from Matt from Minnesota. Watched Bram Stoker's Dracula on iTunes 4K with Dolby Atmos, and the overhead speaker stuff is the most active and impressive I've yet encountered. We'll jump right from there. Matt from Minnesota is a new listener. We'll go to that right here. So Matt emailed me this week, just the other day, as a matter of fact. Matt says, hi there, Matt from Minnesota here. New listener to the podcast here, and I'm enjoying it a great deal. Just wanted to mention I watched Bram Stoker's Dracula last night on iTunes 4K with Dolby Atmos, and despite seeing the movie many times, including in the theater when it first came out, it was like I'd never really seen it before. The Atmos effects, particularly the overhead speaker stuff, is the most active and impressive I've yet encountered. Apparently back in 1992, it was one of the very first Dolby Digital soundtracks. Great care was clearly taken in the production of this sound mix. You should give this a watch while it's still spooky season. Would love to see how many notes you'd have in the breakdown for this film. Anyways, thanks again for the podcast. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for the email. I really appreciate those. I emailed Matt back, said the same, you know, basically thanking him. And, but I also said, unfortunately, I can't do Bram Stoker's Dracula this year as we only have 2 weeks left. We've got the voting up for next week's, and the following week will be Halloween. So I have moved Bram Stoker's Dracula to the first week of October of next year. And yeah, so I've already, and believe it or not, if you're, you know, Steve, you're quite the sleuth this week. So maybe you can figure out what movie I have booked for 3 years from now, and you'll maybe see why. So anybody wants to try to figure that out? Hey, maybe there's a prize involved. I don't know. So anyways, but yeah, thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the recommendation. I'll probably check that out anyways, but actually giving it a full Bright Side review in quotations, that will take, I'll do that next year to do it properly. And I like to, I really like to see that stuff in the emails, like people commenting on, I'd, you know, see how many notes you'd have, because some of these movies, it's like when I'm done, I'm like, oh man, this one's got 32 scenes. And then other movies, sometimes I'm just, it depends on how my week's going. If I'm really busy, it always seems like if I'm really busy, I'll get a movie with like 32 scenes that I've got to talk about. But then another movie, like it's pouring rain, I work outside. If it's raining, I can't work. I'll have a movie and it'll have like 12 scenes. It's just how it works. It can never be easy, right? So, but yeah, that it's, I love that everybody's enjoying that. That format seems to be working. I've got some other ideas, change things up. We have some more guests coming up, some exciting stuff coming this week, not this week, but coming up in the coming months. And yeah, I'm having a blast. Suggestions, comments, everything, keep them coming. And we have more this week. Email from G. Cornell about Call of the Wild, the animated movie. He says, have you seen it to comment? Just watched the Blu-ray, and the way they animated the way the dogs walked looked unnatural. With all the technology available, puzzled by the decision to animate this way. No, I haven't seen that. And to be honest with you, I've kind of gotten away from the whole animation thing. I used to watch a ton of animation. I watched Avatar. I saw Lion King, all the Toy Stories early on in the 90s. But then when my kids were born and you're inundated with animation, like all of the animation, that's all they watch, it kind of lost that fun for me. So I would love to get back into it. And I did dabble when Disney Plus first came out. I dabbled with it. I checked out some of the movies, but I haven't really sat down to watch a full length animated feature movie in a long time. And it's just one of those, it's not like I'm hurting for content. So it's just one of those things. It just hasn't been, you know, at the front of my mind to check those things out. But I do know there's some good stuff, but I have heard the same thing that you're saying about that about Call of the Wild, that it was a little wonky. But maybe I'll get the bug, especially with emails like this. Maybe I'll get the bug to check stuff out like that, and I'll get back into it, because they are great movies. I'm not saying they're not good movies and I don't enjoy them. It's just something that I just haven't leaned towards. But maybe I will. Adriano the Nerd on Twitter, at AdrianoTweets87, said about Alien. He says, another one of those iconic movies I was able to watch at a young age. This and its sequels played a big role in my taste in movies and wanting to know more about the craft of filmmaking. Yeah, Adriano, these movies, Star Wars, the Aliens, Cameron with Aliens, and this one, Alien, these movies, especially at a young age, they have such an effect on you. And I'm going to be talking more about Star Wars in the coming weeks, but how these movies affect you the rest of your life. And it's, you know, they're the foundation of basically why we're even here. So yeah, these movies are incredible. I could do them over and over and over. I know I will be too. I'll probably be talking on this podcast. I'll talk about Alien again. I'm going to be talking about Aliens in the future. And I mean, they're just worth it. There's so much to talk about with them too. Even though I just did a podcast that was like, what, an hour and a half long? But moving on. Clara B on Twitter, at Clara B Russells, said, pertaining to my website poll, not showing up for her. She says, yeah, my browser security probably just flagged it. Likely it's an embedded poll which uBlock Origin doesn't like. Most people will probably see it and vote. And I wanted to put that in there because I don't know. It's like, I'm new to this stuff and I'm trying to run these polls. I'm trying to filter everything, as you can tell, trying to filter everything through the website to make it so that I can find everything more easily when people send stuff. So if I get an email, it goes here. If people go to the website, everything goes there. It's a little bit easier as I grow for me to keep everything a little bit more organized. But doing the poll, I didn't know how else to do it. I believe it is an embedded poll because I do it someplace else and then I embed it in, it's what they call it. I don't know how else to run a poll because not everybody's on Twitter. I could run a Twitter poll, but I figured this is the more convenient way for everybody. But, you know, then I get the tweet from Clara saying that it's not convenient for some people. I apologize. But I guess that's the breaks. I don't know how else to do it. Clara also says, have you seen Rosemary's Baby? That's good. And then she said, I watched The House on the Edge of the Park last night, and that was a little rapey for her taste. Midsommar was pretty good too. Bit slow, but I liked the atmosphere. Cool. Thanks, Clara. Appreciate that. And then lastly, I tweeted about Remo Williams this week. Land of the 80s, which I follow, put out a tweet about Remo Williams debuting in theaters back in 1985 this past week. And I retweeted that tweet with the comment, one of the movies that sparked my passion for home theater. I had this poster in my first home theater. It was my bedroom with a TV, a VCR, a stereo system, in quotations, and two car speakers for my rear channels. But it felt like the movies. And it did. And this movie, I haven't seen this movie in a long time. I went online and looked it up to try and buy it. It was like $45. And I have so much going on right now with movies. I'm like, all right, let me see if I can wait and maybe find it cheaper. This movie actually pulls at the heartstrings for me quite a bit because I loved the movie when it came out, and we have a bunch of comments here. Steve George says, what happened to the poster? Quote, Unarmed and Dangerous, such a fun movie back in the day. Graham Cole said, oh my God, totally forgot about this movie, one of my faves. John Burton says, I watched this just last Tuesday night. It was as fun as I remember. And it was, and it's one of those movies that you just forget about, but when you see it, it just pops in your head, and you have all those memories of back in the 80s. And one of my memories of this movie is the reason I got the poster is my next door neighbor's brother owned a video store, and it was right down the street from my house, and I could ride my bike there and get whatever movie. And he was really, really cool to me. And I used to go down there and hang out instead of hanging out at a comic book store or a video arcade or something like that. I hung out in a video store, and he would give me the posters when he was done with them. So I got this poster from his video store, and he recently just passed away. I've told this story at his wake. And it was like, cause he was such a great guy, but the movie itself. So when this popped up, it's like, this is how I started in my home theater. I had he was part of it, is like renting me movies, going down, getting all these action movies and horror movies and stuff that just to take back in my makeshift home theater in my room. And he just kept fueling it with, hey, try this one and try that one. So it was a lot of fun, but yeah, this movie really, you know, sparks off those thoughts. But all right, let's get to this week's featured home theater. This one has been, I've been holding on to this one for a while. He submitted this to me like a month or so ago, and I've been very excited to do this as a Star Wars fan. I labeled it Star Wars Heaven. It comes from Al, as we know, is Andrew. If you listen to my podcast with Rob, he knew right away who AL was. And actually, in last week's AV Rant podcast, they actually talked about some of the artwork that we're going to see here. And when I was listening to their podcast last week, I was like, hey, I'm going to be talking about that next week. So here we go. So let's start with his message to me when he submitted the theater. He said, so to get the deets out of the way, he says, I have a 5.1.4 system. The floor level speakers are all Paradigm Monitor V5s with Monitor 9s for the left and right channels, CC290 for the center, and ADP 190s for the surrounds. The sub is a PB1000. The Atmos speakers are Mica C6s. It's all powered by a Denon X3600 with an NVIDIA Shield running my Plex server, an Xbox One X for some very light gaming and as my UHD player, and a Bell 5 DVR for the very little bit of TV I watch. I mostly stream. I have an LG B9 65-inch OLED that I absolutely love. I got all of my speakers used for a crazy deal. My sub was the only new speaker purchase. The theme is obviously Star Wars, and all the art was done by my talented wife. Before anyone complains, the foam helmets with the foam around them are not room treatments. They are simply to tie home theater and Star Wars together. The last thing I need to do is to get some acoustic panels for my reflection points, and I am done. I should also add that I built the entire room myself and that all wires are in wall and connected with in-wall binding posts and banana plugs. Best decision ever. I should also mention that aside from my speakers, Rob and Tom helped me pick all of my gear and dial in my setup. Yeah, those guys at AV Rant kind of know what they're doing. So, let's get to the pictures in this. Great setup, awesome gear, and the pictures here, though, pictures tell the story. Let's go. All right, first picture here is this older TV, but I really like the picture. I like that, you know, he has the two foamed helmets behind it, but I love the red behind the TV. I just thought it was a very dynamic picture to lead off with. I put it as the thumbnail as well. But then you go to the next picture and now you see the new TV, and look at the difference in size here. What an upgrade. Because it's like if you scroll back and forth between the two pictures, it actually makes those speakers look smaller. When I first got these, I had to, you know, do a double take and like really look like, are those different speakers? Because the speakers look thinner, they look smaller, everything. And I mean, and you can see how much further it stretches out past the foamed helmets hanging above. The frame of the TV, the second TV, the 65-inch LG B9, actually goes up to the foamed helmets. You can see that. So it's, what a difference. He must have been so excited when he did that. I love when you get a bigger picture like that. It's so cool. It's such a great upgrade. The next picture, I put third because he even said this is his favorite part. The favorite thing in the theater is this, his helmets. And these are all from the Black Series. And they do. They look so nice. And displayed in the case like that, it's beautiful. And that, I actually like that light that's next to it too, with that, the way it has that lampshade and the diffusion. It makes the helmets really pop off that, and such a great thing to have in the corner there. And of course, we have a little stormtrooper down there hanging out guarding the area too. Now, the next picture here, we have something really cool. Him and his wife could make a few dollars with these things, I think. I said that to him a while ago. The guys on AV Rant said the same exact thing I was thinking. It's like, if you should be selling digital copies of these for people to make room treatments with, so that people could make, and I say we, because I would love to buy some of these from you. You could make room treatments. You could sell the copies so that people could put that up as posters in their rooms. They're so cool. And there's, you know, the first picture here, we have them where his wife just finished them, I guess, and they're on the floor. That's what he had said. And then the next picture, obviously they're hanging up, and you have another stormtrooper guarding them appropriately. And then the next picture of that, we have R2. I'm always amazed by people that can do this stuff. My eye for art is so detail oriented that I have a hard time doing some stylized art like this, but I love this stuff. I love the way the use of color here, and we'll get into more of these, the red ones in a few more pictures. But the use of color here, she's a fantastic artist. I love R2 and the way the color runs down, and even the red and the little red dot, how that runs down a little bit, and just It's awesome. This stuff is awesome. You definitely should be posting these up, selling digital copies for one price and maybe even selling them, selling an original for some crazy money. I know how hard it is to get rid of these things, and that's why you put crazy money on it. Make it worth your while. But these things are fantastic. I love them. Love them. And then the next picture, we actually have a couple more pieces of art hanging up there in the background. The room has been redone here. We only have one foam helmet behind the TV now. But you can see he redesigned the room. Speaker grills are off here, but we'll see close-ups of that art in a few minutes. Then the next pictures, same view, just pulled back a bit more and how it looks like, you can see that he actually has his Odyssey Multi-EQ app open on his iPad there, and his cat is hanging out nicely on the couch. And then the next picture, same thing, but now the cat's facing you. And the light is off. The overhead light is off, creating... I think this is a nicer picture. You have more dynamic contrast between the lights and the darks, where you got a little bit of a flare from the light above before. This is a cooler picture, like cooler temperature. The speaker grills are off, whereas the picture above, the speaker grills were on. Really, really nice. Nicely laid out room. I like the hardwood floors, even though maybe, you know, AV Rant would be like, we need a little bit more sound absorption there, but I know you said you're working on that. Next picture, we have the Boba Fett foam helmet. That's what I call it. I know it's not a foam helmet, but beautiful. I love the detail in the helmet. Did your wife add to that? Did you guys scuff those up and did you add to those? Because they look really, really nice. Obviously, the next one, Kylo Ren. After that, we have a pilot, Imperial pilot. Really, really cool. I love the use of the foam, by the way. And I'm sure there's some little bit of sound dampening there, but I love the use of the foam. It looks so cool. At next picture, we have his rack. And we have the Denon 3600 nicely garnished with Star Wars paraphernalia all around. And another Kylo Ren helmet at the bottom. Next picture after that, we go behind the rack. Very nice here. You can see everything's plugged into the wall. That is so cool. Having all of your speaker wires going to one location. Really, really cool. And it looks so neat back there too. Just plug in. You can have nice short speaker wire coming off there to your system. But you can see it's all tied up very neatly. There's even a blue light that must be coming from what? Maybe a power conditioner or a power surge protector unit or something. But it very nice. And I said last week, I love going behind the theater racks. I love seeing all those wires. And last week's was very neat. This week is very neat. But I also like a mess too. And mine at times, sometimes I go through phases. Sometimes I like it nice and neat and I band it all up and it looks good. And my wife looks at it and goes, oh, that's so nice. It looks so neat. But then like as it is right now, it's kind of a disaster back there. But I kind of like that because we know what that means. It doesn't look like a disaster to us, but it's like a horror movie to most people. They look at that, what is it? Too many wires, too many things. And as I've said before, nowadays we have HDMI, so it's just one connection. But 20 years ago, man, the wires coming off, you had coax, you had super HD, you had this, you had, you know, component and composite and blah, 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 and all of these different wires coming off, digital, optical. Oh, man, there was so many different things to get the best possible picture and sound. Inputs, outputs, HDMI, the unit goes both directions now. See what happens? See how much I can talk about one picture from behind a theater rack? Okay, let's move on. Next picture we have looking to the back of his room, and we can see the helmets in the corner. We see the art on the wall. But we can also see that ADP 190 very nicely floating there on the wall because he has in-wall wiring. It just looks so nice, so neat, so perfect. He has a little bar table behind the couch, and you can see a nice you know, refrigerator back there. We'll get to the top of that in a minute. But one of the things I wanted to comment on, and I'm wondering if his wife had any say in this, but notice that the wall, you have her art on the wall, which has red in it. You have the very warm reddish wood in the bar, and then you have the red in those pillows, really tying that, the gray in that room together. And I love gray because you can change the hue of gray just by the colors you use around it. It's pretty cool. Cause if you go back to those first pictures that we did earlier where I said the lights on and the lights off, look how warm the room looks and look how warm the couch looks with the light on, warm light. And then you turn that light off, but it's more dynamic. And you scroll back to these pictures. That's what I'm doing right now. And you see that's a cooler gray on the couches, and the dark on the charcoal walls looks like a cooler gray, a cooler charcoal. It can change the overall look of the room just with a few colors here and there. But yet the color gray has stayed the same. It's still the same color. So well done on decorating the room as well. I really like the color scheme. Next picture, we have more Star Wars art here. I believe this is Darth Vader. I'm not sure, but I love this. Absolutely love this. It looks like it was painted with a spatula and not necessarily a brush. I did a little bit of that in college. It looks like it was done in oil as well. Not 100% sure, but you could see the texture in the paint. If you look at it closely, you could see the shadows from how much paint has been laid onto the canvas here, if it's canvas or canvas board. And it just looks so nice. So there's so much emotion in it. I mean, it has obviously a Japanese feel. You have that red sun dot in the background, but it just so much emotion just played out from here. It looks really, really cool. And the next picture is his cat. I put that there because that's how he sent it to me, and I thought it was so cool because the next picture after that is Kylo Ren done in the same style with the same emotion. Actually, this one here actually to me feels like it has a little more emotion to it, a little bit more anger in it. And I love that. I love that. But I love that the cat was in between the two of them. It's like, because you have all this build up to the next picture and it's a cat. So. But love those pictures. Those would also make some fantastic sound absorption art. Keep that in mind. You've now had two podcasts tell you that. The next picture after Kylo Ren, we have another picture of them hanging on the wall, this time a little closer. Look at the use, not just the use of the reds, but the use of the grays in the background too, and how the storminess that they're giving. I love it. Absolutely love it. These next two pictures, we're looking at the helmet casing, and the first picture has used a flash. The second picture, no flash. I actually enjoy the first picture with the flash a little bit more. I thought it highlighted the X-Wing on the top. I love what it did at the different reflections you got out of it as you look through the case. And the picture with no flash is pretty cool too, a warmer picture, but I loved the contrast between the two, so that's why I included both of them. Not sure if he meant that or not. Next picture after that is the top of his refrigerator that in the back of the room that I mentioned earlier. He has all the mini helmets there and a snow speeder. And if you look inside the snow speeder, zoom in and look very closely, you could see a little bit of bubble wrap on the pilot. All right. Moving on. Next picture, we have his liquor cabinet. Very nice. What theater shouldn't have a liquor cabinet in it? I'll ignore the 49. I'll forgive the 49ers fan. We'll just move on. We'll just leave that at that. And the next picture we have overhead Mica C6 blending in very nice. Those look really nice. I myself went with contrast as opposed to a blend. I put mine are black. I have a gray ceiling and my overhead speakers are black. I liked that look. But this looks really cool. Really neat. The whole room is really neat. It looks perfect. And speaking of perfect, we go to the next picture, which has all three of the original trilogy posters. Here I am jealous. I wish I had a wall to do that on. I don't even have that. I don't have that space in my basement. It's all taken up with something. I don't have the space to put all three things in a row like that and nicely framed. Just, it looks so cool. Very impressive. And the next three pictures are going to be comic books, and they've been framed. And if you look at, well, we'll get to that really quickly, but the three comic books are Spider-Man 113. I think that's from 1980. The next one is Wolverine versus Spider-Man. That's a number zero book. And I think that one is from 1995. And then the last picture is the Invincible Iron Man number 67. And that one I think is from 1974. And if you look closely, it's from April of 1974, pretty sure. What I liked about these, I mean, I'm wondering if they have any sentimental value. Like, they do look a little bit worn. Like, are these his actual comic books from when he was a kid? And two, look how nicely they're framed in that they're floating off of the backing. So if you notice, look at the shadow that's behind, like, the Spider-Man one, the first picture, and you can see that it's pushed off of the backing. So there's some depth there, which makes these things really pop off the wall. They looked so cool. And I'd love to find out, if you could leave in the comments, Andrew, where are these from? Do they have a sentimental value or anything? Because they're really, really nice. I have one framed, a Spider-Man book framed with Kraven. It's a Kraven book. But it's not framed as nicely as these are. And I'm kind of interested in doing that now. I know how to do it. I know we did that in college, and you put a foam board behind it. But actually, I'm wondering, did you actually glue these down or something like that? But really, really nicely done. Very nice touch. Then the next picture is, as he put it, Dolby Vision HDR porn picture. Beautiful picture. Just a beautiful picture of just that you see that, you know, that high dynamic range, the Dolby Vision there. Really, really cool looking. And then, so fitting to wrap up with three pictures of Baby Yoda, each picture getting a little bit closer. Awesome. He must have ordered this like the day the show came out, because I know he got this in shortly before we were doing this podcast. But what a picture. Very jealous. So cool. What an add to his theater. Perfect little touch. You know, I gotta say, this is the way to decorate a home theater. I had to do that. Had to throw that line in there, especially with Baby Yoda there. He's got to be really excited for The Mandalorian coming out in a couple weeks. Mandalorian season 2, that is. But what a theater. Awesome. Thank you, Andrew, so much for submitting this. All of these theaters, all of the differences, all of the intricacies, and some of the theaters that we're getting are people just starting out. And it's like, people are pulling ideas from all of this. Thank you so much. If you haven't submitted your theater and you'd love to submit your theater, or like to submit your theater, I should say, just email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Or you can DM me as well on Twitter, which is brightsidehT. But email's the best, because everything's then located right there. But email me a description, the pictures, the more the better, the more description the better. And we're just having fun with it. And I know people are going to be borrowing ideas from everybody else, because I'm already doing it. I've already had people comment to me that they're going to, I like this, I like that. Thank you very much. Thanks to everybody that submitted. Thank you, Andrew, for this week's. That's it. Now we get to this week's featured movie. And this week's featured movie, Dr. Sleep in 4K. I hadn't seen this before. I had a hankering for Ewan McGregor. Steve George figured it out earlier this week on Twitter. I wasn't sure how this movie was going to play out. As I've said before, I'm not a huge horror fan. I'm not, my wife loves horror movies. I myself, I could take or leave them. There's been a few I've liked, but it's not a genre that I delve into and go, wow, I can't wait for that one to come out or anything like that. Hey, let's play the trailer and see what I thought.
When I was a kid, there was a place a dark place. They closed it down and let it rot. But the things that lived there... They come back. Not many ride the bus this far north. You running away from something? I'm running away from myself, I guess.
Hi. You can hear me. You're magic. Like me.
I don't know about magic. I always called it the Shining. The world is a hungry place. A dangerous place.
These people, they hurt people like us.
These empty devils, they'll eat what shines. And they've noticed that little girl.
Wow. Hi there.
Get out of my head! Get out!
I haven't felt power like that in so long.
They're coming. Where are we going?
There's a place. You sure you want to do this?
I'm ready.
Yes, you run, dear. And then I will find you. And you will scream for years.
Come play with us forever and ever.
I'm not going to bury the lead here. I loved this movie. I loved everything about this movie. I thought that trailer was great. I loved everything. This, and you know what? Right off the bat, 185 picture ratio. You can't get better than that. That's it. It filled your screen. I was so excited when I saw that, when I put the disc in and I'm like, oh, I don't need any masking. I'm getting a full screen out of this. Which plays so well in a horror movie like this. Your whole screen is filled. The room was filled with sound. I thought this was a tremendous, tremendous movie. Full engagement from beginning to end. I'm talking about myself here, not the sound or anything like that. But I was on the edge of I had a real good time with this. My wife really enjoyed it as well. As soon as it ended, she texted her mom, like, we just watched this movie. You know, we just watched Dr. Sleep. She thought it was really good. We had a blast with it. Nice date night, scary, edge of your seat movie. And I gotta say, I haven't watched it without the theater, so I don't know how this would play without the theater. I liked the story, but a lot of that is enhanced by what we get in the theater, in our theaters with this. And it was just like, all right, let's picture wise, let's start off with that quickly. Not really much to say. I don't have anything negative to say about it. Nothing bothered me, but nothing jumped out except for one thing, and I'll touch on that in spoilers. And it's not even a huge thing. It didn't jump out, but I did make note of it and then went back and checked it. So we'll get to that when we get to spoilers. And there were some great, what I call, focus scenes here. And again, when you have that 1 to 85 ratio there, you've got a nice full screen, much like when you're watching Netflix. Well, last week when I commented on Enola Holmes, there were some nice focus scenes where they really focused in on the rest on a character or an object. And then the rest of the picture around it was a little blurred out, giving you a real nice sense of depth there. And they did that quite a bit in this movie, and I really enjoyed that, but it wasn't like a huge thing. I would actually say that Enola Holmes last week, when I watched that, I thought the picture was sharper I thought it was more dynamic, the picture-wise. But this movie isn't supposed to be like that. There are some nice fall foliage scenes in this movie. We're going to open the first scene. I have a comment about the picture there. But most of this movie is, it's a horror movie. It's meant to be creepy. It's meant to be dimly lit. It's meant to be dark and mysterious. And you're really engaged by the sound. And the sound in this does not disappoint. This is absolute reference movie for sound. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Especially if you're a fan of bass. If you're a bass head and you want, this is up there. I wouldn't say it's on Lucy level, but just a skosh below, just a little bit. Some people may differ. Some people might think this is up there with Lucy, maybe above, because there are some punchy scenes, but it defaults to Atmos, which is nice. Tons of detail throughout this movie, which kept me engaged. The scenes, the story, I enjoyed the story. Don't get me wrong. But the sound throughout this movie and the precision that they localized the sounds in this movie, it kept me like looking around going, ooh, that was cool over there. That was good. And I could have made probably twice as many notes on individual sounds, but it would have gotten redundant. So, you know, there's a lot that I left out because this entire movie from beginning to end on sound is a demonstration on how good it can be and how fun it must be to just like, hey, let's put this little sound over here and do that. Tons of detail sound and lots of nice, outstanding pans. And I think I reference a few of them coming up in my notes. But throughout the movie, people walk off screen, sounds over here, and really, really nice pans around the room, haunting pans around the room. Really, really cool. That's about all I have. I'm dying to get to the notes, dying to get to these scenes. So much fun, so much fun. So we have the popcorn popping. If you haven't seen this movie, please, you know, check it out. If you love the theater, you love sound, this is definitely a movie to check out. So, popcorn is popping. So let's get into spoilers, and let's dive right in. So we dive in with the open, and right off the bat, we get that haunting Shining music, you know, the original score from the original movie. And then it goes right to deep bass that it's going to be throughout the movie, and it feels like a heartbeat. You just feel it. And I won't even say anymore because we're going to be talking about that a lot. And there's a really cool sound around your room. It sounds like cicadas, if you will, like the bugs or something. But the scene is you're coming down into the woods, and this is that picture that I thought looked really cool. You have the green trees and everything, and it was almost 3D like as you came down and into the trees. I just thought that was a really cool way to introduce you into this movie, and it was kind of peaceful too. I mean, aside from the bass and the heartbeat and all that, but the picture itself was kind of peaceful in knowing what's about to come, and you don't even know exactly what happens here until later in the movie you find out what they actually do with the children, and you know, we're in spoilers, so I can say that. At 2:10, we have a stone, and that's where Rose is talking to this little girl who I believe we call Violet. And at exactly 2:10, you can hear a rock or stone on the right rear of your room. And the little girl Violet actually looks back at you, past you sitting in your theater, past you to the rear of your room. And it's pretty cool. Ambient sound here, really cool, setting the stage for what it's going to be like throughout this movie. You can hear the wind. You can hear the water on the lake. You can feel everything that's going on all around you. You're very conscious of it in this scene. The one thing I thought as the movie started, because I put it in my notes, but it went away. The feeling went away, I should say, is I thought the dialogue felt really loud at the beginning of this movie. But as the movie played out, I think we got used to it. I mean, this movie is a loud movie. So I, like I said, I listen to these movies at reference volume, and this one is very loud, very strong. And the dialogue felt a little strong at the beginning, but then you settle in and get used to it and just enjoy all of the sounds that this movie has to offer. At 3 minutes and 10 seconds, Violet starts to get surrounded by Rose's crew, which we know now is the crew. At the time, you just saw these people coming out of the woods. But as they approach, you could hear all the characters coming from all the different parts of your room, surrounding you like you're Violet, like you're there with Violet. You could hear them coming. Bass is really ramped up here, really strong. This opening really sets the stage for the rest of the movie. It's such a good audio track throughout the movie, but this opening scene, this first 3 to 4 minutes, really set the stage, really, really strong. At 5 minutes and 43 seconds, we get in more of that heartbeat that we're going to be talking about. The bass really ramps up with the heartbeat and what we're going to get throughout this movie. But the highs are so good in contrast between the bass and the highs are just really nice here. As the scene ramps up, you can feel the bass in your seat. The vibrations are coming through, but you're getting light punches in your chest, but you're also getting all those, you know, the higher frequencies. It's really, really strong. Really cool scene. At 7 minutes and 13 seconds, I've labeled this Inside Your Head. This is a scene where little Danny, is talking to Dick and they're sitting on the park bench. But when Dick speaks with his voice inside Danny's head, it goes overhead real quick. Nice engagement over your head. And then there's also a nice bass thump to it as well. And that's going to happen a few more times in the movie. But that was the first time in this movie that, you know, you could hear the voice. It felt like it was coming from right over your head, giving you that real sense that it's in your head. At 11 minutes and 25 seconds, we have I called it a lockbox, but this is where Danny uses his mind to lock away the lady in the bathtub, which is what he ends up doing with all of the baddies from the hotel that been after him his whole life. Awesome, awesome bass here. Awesome engagement of all the channels. Sound moves from front to rear, and then some really fun effects in the rear channel. Check those out. But really, really strong scene. Then we're going to jump to 2839, Breathe In Deep. This is a scene where Rose breathes in Andy's fear, and they turn Andy, the girl they got from the movie theater. And we get that heartbeat again. But listen as the heartbeat goes on in this scene and it gets quicker, which is really nice because you can feel it in your chest still. And to have a bass that strong and that powerful and that focused, but as it's picking up speed, you can feel it in your chest, which is Andy's fear. Also, listen for the sounds as the wind's blowing overhead and they're circling around your room. And then as the scene builds, just before Andy's eyes glow, when she finally gets turned, the sounds actually feel like they're encroaching in on you from all around the room. There's almost like the voices that you can hear coming, getting closer to you and getting louder. Kind of a cool effect. Like I've really felt like those voices were coming in, getting closer to me than my walls, like moving in on me. It was a really, really cool effect, really strong effect. At 30 minutes and 5 seconds, I just labeled this crazy bass. This is a scene where Dan wakes up next to the corpse, which is the woman from earlier in the movie that he woke up in bed with, and that had the little kid and he took her money. So in this scene here, he wakes up next to her. This scene has some of the strongest bass so far in the movie. It's like Lucy. If your room isn't locked down, there'll be vibrations all over your room. This is what I was making note of at this time, but believe it or not, the bass gets stronger as this movie goes on. There's a couple scenes later that really, really shook the room. At 38 minutes and 47 seconds, Dr. Sleep. This is where Ewan McGregor gets his title, where the movie gets its title. And Dan was talking to the dying patient the first time in the movie. But when he puts his voice inside his head, inside the patient's head, his voice goes over your head. And then there's that sudden little bass, which was really, really nice. Little extra bass there. At 44 minutes and 33 seconds, door. I labeled it door because this is one of my favorite things. A nice, discreet door close on the left side of your room as Dan enters his room. So, like, obviously, it's left side of the room, self-explanatory. But, you know, I love those. I'm a sucker for those. I love accuracy, and this one was very accurate. 51 minutes and 51 seconds. I see you. This is a scene where Rose and her crew are killing the little boy in the baseball player, and Abra can see them. I believe she's in her bed sleeping, but then all of a sudden she can just see them because she feels what's going on. And this is where I felt the HDR was pretty strong, and I wanted to see what it looked like compared to the 1080p and their eyes glowing. And it just, all of the different characters here, they're all breathing in the fear of the little boy, breathing in the little boy's power, and their eyes are glowing. They just didn't have the same color in 1080p. They didn't have the same pop to them. And so that's one of the things that I made note of as far as the picture goes. But this scene here is an absolute reference scene for sound as well. Tremendous bass, crystal clear highs all around your room. The detail in the screaming voices around your room, almost like if you concentrated on each individual high frequency, you might be able to make out, like in a crowded room when you can hear somebody, even though there's a bunch of voices, but you would have to, you know, you would have to focus in on each individual voice, but it felt like it was that clear, that good. There's so much going on. The whole room was engaged. Multiple Abra voices as well around the room and popping up. Like I have this memory as I'm recording right now of like, I heard her voice on the left rear and then the left right rear, but her voice moves around the room. So cool. So cool. It's just, it's an absolutely terrifying scene. If you took the sound away, this is a terrifying scene. They're killing a little boy. They're torturing the little boy to get his power out of him. That's terrifying enough. And that, I mean, then you add the sound in for this scene. It's just unreal. And then you think you can't get any further. And it's like you end with an unreal climax as Dan's room/walls just burst. The bass is just insane. And then we get that heartbeat again. Really, really strong. Then moving on to 58 minutes and 28 seconds. We're in the library. And Abra is in the library and she starts to hear the voices around the room. She's trying to focus in on different something else. And she's hearing, almost like she's hearing the thoughts of everybody around the room. It's an awesome use of discrete channels to place the multiple voices around the room. Then there's a ticking sound that starts in the right front and it circles the room overhead clockwise. Really, really cool. That one was like, I wasn't even expecting that when I listened to it even the second time, because I'm listening to the voices and then you get that tick, 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 and it starts at the front and goes behind you around your head. And I think it dissipates out the left rear or something. And there's some really nice bass here too. That's probably going to sound redundant after a while, but this movie is insane for bass. So good. At 1 hour, 1 minute, and 8 seconds, found them. Abra tries to find Rose and the crew, and when she does, there's a great sudden bass impact. There's almost like a cool earthquake cracking noise. It's not an earthquake, you know the movie, but you can hear it. You'll hear it around your room. It's like the walls are crumbling or the room is crumbling, but you just hear that cracking noise all around the room. Just a crazy fun scene. I marked this as a reference scene as well. Not one of the stronger reference scene. It only gets one popcorn box, but it's definitely a very strong scene. At 1 hour, 7 minutes and 57 seconds, we have outside voices. Abra meets Dan face to face on the park bench for the first time and opens the conversation in his head. And he says to her, he's like, let's use our outside voices here. But her voice starts at the front overhead, but very quickly moves throughout your room. But it just felt to me, I listened to it a couple of times, and if you listen closely, her voice starts at the front and it just very quickly moves to fill the room and be over your head at the same time. I thought it was pretty cool. At 1 hour, 11 minutes and 27 seconds, no one in that room. Dan finds Dick in a hospital room. But when he first gets there, he opens the door and he knows nobody is in there. He tells the cat, Azrael, I think, that nobody's in there. He opens the door and he's expecting it to be empty, and he sees a person across the room. And when he sees them, he immediately goes to his defense mechanism, which is to lock away. He thinks it's, you know, one of those ghosts or creatures to come and get him. So he's ready to lock them away. And we go right to those lock boxes and they start to open. And it's just a really strong, freaky, you know, creepy scene, but it's just a really strong noise. Bop, 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 bop. But then you find out that it's Dick and everything calms down really quickly. But it was a really cool scene. I loved how they did that. And I mean, it ramped your heartbeat up too. And maybe there was a heartbeat there. I didn't put it in my notes, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was. But it's so strong, so powerful, and so quick too. At 1 hour, 15 minutes, and 34 seconds, Rose in space. I didn't know what else to call this, but it got two popcorn boxes. It is a reference scene, and Rose is looking for Abra here, and she floats away from Earth and she's flying above the planet looking down on it. But the base here is so powerful, and you, like, the room is reverberating everything. You just get that low, low bass hum throughout the room. Then they add that heartbeat on top of it. So your room just is filled with bass. And then you get another level of bass above that, which is just insane. It's just insane. It's an amazing bass scene. And then the heartbeat accelerates too throughout the scene as the scene plays out. So really, really cool. At 1 hour, 18 minutes and 35 seconds, Trapped. This is where Abra traps Rose. She gets her hand caught in the file cabinet. Wicked, wicked bass here as well. And then you can hear Abra's voice overhead. Cool scene as it plays out and Rose is stuck and you can hear the files shuffling overhead and all around the room. The whole room's alive with sound, but listen to those files like somebody's quickly, you know, fingering through filing cabinets. That's what you're hearing around the room. And it's just creepy, and all the while Rose's hand is stuck in this and gross scene too. Blah. All right, moving on. 1 hour, 29 minutes and 14 seconds, shoveling. This is where Dan and his buddy Billy came with them. They're digging up the little boy. And that, if that's not creepy enough. What I liked about this scene has crazy bass, has that crazy heartbeat in it. And it is strong, very strong here because it's just a disgusting scene. But what I want you to focus on, sadly, is the shoveling. What I thought was really cool, and this gets into the precision that this sound was made at. It's so precise that when they're shoveling the dirt, when they throw the dirt away with the shovel, it lands where it should. Now, it's tough to pay because you have the conversation going on, which is crystal clear. The dialogue is crystal clear. You have that bass going on, that heartbeat that's really, really strong. But then you have them scooping the dirt and then throwing the dirt with the shovel. And if they throw it to the left, the sound of the dirt landing is on the left. And the camera is panning or is changing the scenes. And if they start to throw it on the left, but the camera changes and now it should be landing on the right, it actually lands on the right. They actually placed it in the right spot to where the camera is seeing it going, which I thought was great. Because if you remember in Goonies, they kept changing the camera and the water was always dripping on the right side of the screen, even though the camera net was now viewing and you knew the water was dripping on the left. So it's little details like that that I really like. And then this gross, gross scene of them digging up a little boy. It's, you know, just pay attention to that. Maybe take the focus off of what they're actually doing. But it's that I thought was really cool for the sound designers to do that. At 1 hour, 32 minutes and 41 seconds, show dad. And this is where Dan tells Abra, show her dad her power. And the sudden impact of sound in your room is very intense here. Very strong bass, very high screeching, just a sudden onslaught of sound followed by that intense, distinctly clear, you guessed it, heartbeat. We're back to that heartbeat again. But really, really strong scene here. I gave it one popcorn box. I thought that's a really cool scene to show people. At 1 hour, 34 minutes and 28 seconds in the van, Abra shows up in the crew's van as they're coming to get them. Much like the last scene, very, very intense. Just her looking around the room, whole room is engaged. Just like the last, strong bass. At 1 hour, 38 minutes and 9 seconds, this is killing time. I gave it two popcorn boxes. They just set up a trap. Dan and Billy set up a trap, of course, with the help of Abra, to ambush the gang. Awesome gunfire here. Very distinct, very clear, very loud. And when I say distinct, I'm like, the bass here was so, it sounded like gunfire. That really strong but short burst of bass that you could feel in your chest. Screams panning all around the room too, as the different characters are being shot and then dying. The screams are going on around the room. The gunshots are echoing too. So sometimes other than just getting the strong gunshot sound, you're also getting like when you fire a gun, I think Cliffhanger had it where they fired it in the mountains and you could hear it reverberate through the mountains, echo through the mountains. Well, they did that here. And I remember one distinctly, I don't have the timestamp on exactly when it happened, but one here actually echoed off to the left and it felt like it like left the room, like it was going farther away than your walls, which was really cool. Very entertaining gunfight scene. One of the most entertaining that I've seen in a while, actually. At 1 hour, 45 minutes and 15 seconds, Brain's a radio. So Dan's trying to tune in Abra, and I believe it was Dick that told him, like, your brain's like a radio. You could, something like that, to that effect. That's where I got that little title from. But before he starts, there's a nice wind blowing overhead. Really cool, really calming, really nice, like he's trying to concentrate, but you could hear that wind swirling over your head and around your room. Pretty cool. And then it's quickly replaced by the voices traveling around your room as Dan's trying to tune in just on Abra, and he's trying to tune out all those other voices. Pretty cool. Pretty clear, too. Again, those voices sounded really clear for not coming from a center channel, but coming from around the room. At 1 hour, 55 minutes and 4 seconds, this is the hotel. We're at the hotel, the drive up to the hotel, the hotel from The Shining. Just a super creepy scene as they approach the hotel here, and the score from The Shining is playing, the sound, especially the bass is ramping up. Then the sound dissipates only to be left with that powerful, sharp bass that is that heartbeat. But I think it's the strongest heartbeat in the movie. I don't think it gets any stronger than this after here. I know it's the loudest and strongest it's been up until this point of the movie, and I felt it. You felt it in your seat, you felt it in your chest, just so strong. At 1 hour, 59 minutes and 5 seconds, this was a detailed scene. This is the lights. So Dan's walking through the hotel and you can hear the lights. I guess clinking. It's like, but you know those old timey lights, and like when they power on, you can hear the noise inside the light from the power going through them. And it, you'll hear it in the scene, but it was what I liked is like you could hear them at different points in your room, just like they would be around you in that hallway that he's walking down. And it very perfectly placed, and then pan too, as the camera moves, the sound was actually moving and adjusting accordingly. So like if there was one on his left, and but then he looked to his right, that thing, it would pan and be behind you. It was really, really cool effect. Again, more detail like that is so, it's so cool. I love that. Now we get to another really strong scene at 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 43 seconds. I called this "Here's Johnny" with a question mark, but this got 3 boxes of popcorn, and we're listening to the quote Jack Nicholson impersonator trying to be that character from The Shining. And his voice is echoing through your room, signifying that this is in Dan's head. But as that's going on, there's this bass shaking your room that makes you think that the scene, if it keeps up too much longer, your room will crumble around you. Like my room was shaking. It was so strong, so tremendous. But the clarity of the dialogue at the same time, like you're focused on what's going on the screen, but your room is crumbling around you. Just the extreme bass, just unreal, just a tremendous, tremendous scene. If you're a bass head and you love this stuff, you have to get this movie. At 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 22 seconds, Let There Be Blood. Rose sees the blood pouring out of the elevators, you know, the scene from The Shining. And there's more of that really strong bass here. Not as strong as the last scene, but it is a pretty cool scene. Really cool for bass. At 2 hours, 16 minutes, and 12 seconds, they're starving. So this is where Dan tricks Rose into his mind, I guess, and, it, you know, getting her in there so that the creatures in the boxes can come and get her. And that's the line he says. He's like, they're starving. And then all of a sudden the room just opens up, and it's a pretty strong scene up until then. But the score, the screaming of her and of the creatures that are eating her, pulling her apart. The drum beat's really strong here. The bass from the drum beats is really strong. Just another scene with just an onslaught of sound. Just awesome. Then we jump to 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 20 seconds. We're in the furnace room. Dan goes to the furnace room. Clinking sounds all around your room. Steam leaking everywhere. So you hear steam shooting out from all around your room. You see here clinking sounds. It's very discreet, very localized. The whole room is shaking. Eventually you get to the part where the fire takes place, and you can hear the fire on the floor, and it's that starts to surround you. Just a really another really cool scene. This is the end of this movie. The last 20 minutes or so is just so one scene after another. Just so insane. At 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 56 seconds, the wind. I really like the scene. Everything's calmed down now. It's the final scene with Abra and Dan. But when the scene opens, Abra's just talking to somebody, and you're not really sure who. But there's this really strong sense of wind over her head. Nice, calming breeze circling overhead. So right away, the first time I saw this, I thought, okay, she's talking to Dan, and Dan has passed. He didn't make it out, and he's passed along. And now he's taking over the role that Dick played for him. I knew that before they turned, just because for some reason that swirling wind overhead. I really liked it. But then of course they pan over to Dan, and you see him. And then when he speaks, there's just that nice echo, and that really, you know, signifying that yes, he has passed on. And he's there to support her, just like Dick supported him. But then I watched the scene play out, and I thought that when her mom came in, which was nice knock at the door, and I believe it was at the left rear, I thought the wind would swirl away. signifying we're back to, quote, reality, not in her head hearing Dan. But the wind never went away. It just, I didn't feel like it was as strong. So maybe it was just me, but I really liked that wind playing overhead and circling around the room. It was pretty cool. Obviously, I mentioned it earlier, but I thought it was a great way to end the movie. I loved that story. Honestly, this movie, I was blown away. Movie was super engaging sound wise. I can't stress enough. Just going from beginning to end of this movie, I know as a home theater fan, you know, whether you have a dedicated room or you just have a nice 5-1 system in your living room, just trying to pick out all the fun sounds going around your room. This movie was so good. And I enjoyed the movie as well. I didn't mind, now that we're in spoilers, I didn't mind that they didn't have Nicholson and they didn't use the old cuts. I think I remember when this was being made, people were complaining that I don't know if they had permission to use the old cuts. Maybe they didn't get it. But I think they didn't use old versions of the movie because they actually used the characters in this movie. So was it Shelley Duvall and the little boy and stuff? They recast them because they actually had new scenes for them to play. So then they just used them to reenact some of the old scenes. But I really enjoyed it. I loved this movie. My wife loved the movie. I'll definitely be checking out the extended director's cut. And then I'm probably going to be diving into the extras, and we'll talk about extras coming up in a couple of weeks. I have an idea on what we can do because I haven't done extras in a while. That's my review. Thank you to everybody that participated this week. Thank you for the home theater submission. And please don't forget, go to the website, vote on the poll. Polling closes, I believe, at 4 or 5 o'clock on Monday afternoon. So vote for your favorite movie that I'll review next week. And of course, in the meantime, you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at thebrightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Check out all the other great podcasts at the Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. I haven't had a good review in a while. I haven't had any reviews in a while. So appreciate 5-star review. That would be great. More coming up on that in the coming weeks as well. I have some plans of coming up on my anniversary. 1 year I've been doing this, so it's going to get even more fun. So have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to everybody. I'll see you next Friday with, I don't know yet, you guys are deciding. So I'll see you then. But until then, go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.